Well, open your Bibles today to Proverbs chapter 3. We've been looking at God's Word 2015 and asking God that we would learn to live a life without regret. You know, I love the new year because it gives you a chance to open to a blank page and start all over again and take the previous year as an opportunity to thank Him for what He's done for us and also in view of our mistakes or errors or transgressions to learn from them, and then rechart a new course for the glory of God. Our text today is going to help us as we think about priorities. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, chapter 3 of Proverbs, verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Let's pray. Father, our desire this morning is to stand before you and ask you for help. We're endeavoring to chart a life that is going to be lived in such a way that we will have no regrets when you call us home. And we stand before you to give an account for all of our lives that there'll be no regret, either at our earthly end, or standing before the great chair, bema seat of Christ. So help us this morning to look to you. Make this passage clear. Make it so clear to us that we will be able to practice it in our lives. Help us to learn from our past experiences, even our transgressions and our sins. May they be for us learning experiences, having been forgiven, to then chart now a life that is pleasing to you. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. One of our favorite passages of Scripture, is it not? Chapter 3 of Proverbs, especially verses 5 and 6, which speaks about priorities and making sure that we are always headed in the right direction. You know, a few days ago, as you heard the news, there was a plane crash back east where a family flying back from a holiday experience crashed in a wooded area. They all perished except for their daughter, a 7-year-old little girl, who survived the plane crash. And she not only survived the plane crash, but also survived a cold and heavily wooded area. Because, you see, as she began to walk, she focused her eyesight on a light that she saw way in the distance. And she began to follow and head in that direction to the light, which happened to take her to civilization, to people who rescued her. And that light and her wise decision to follow that light saved her life. Any detour, had she taken any other route, it would have been certain death for her. She would have been lost and frozen to death, even though she escaped the plane crash. Life is like that. Life is like that. We need to find out our light, find out our priority, and fix our eyes on that, and don't deviate to the right or to the left. Life is full of mistakes. Life is full of detours that we make, that we then eventually live to regret those detours. And that's why this text before us is so important. Reminds us of the importance of making sure that our life is being lived in such a way that we are fully trusting God for all the priorities of life. That as we journey to the goals and purposes that God has for us, that we are fully trusting God in this manner. And this is the focus. We can live life and not trust Him. Not fully trust Him, and the end result is going to be that we're going to take detours in life. We're going to take wrong turns. We're going to make wrong decisions, and then we're going to live to regret those decisions because we didn't trust God at those junctures, those moments in life, and therefore didn't rely upon God to give us the direction that we needed for our life. And this is where this text comes in. It is a very simple text. It's a text that emphasizes the whole issue of trusting God. Let's look at it this morning by asking ourselves three questions to help us understand this text. The first question is, what does it mean to trust God? When the text says, trust in the Lord with all your heart in verse 5, what does it mean actually to trust the Lord? When God says, trust the Lord, what does it mean for me to put my trust in God? Well, the context helps us here. If you notice verse 7, he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear whom? Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. To trust God means to fear the Lord. Now, the word fear doesn't necessarily mean to be afraid of God. It goes beyond that. It means to reverence God, to acknowledge His greatness, acknowledge who He is, and then give Him that respect and that reverence that He deserves. Like you did your father, for example. You respected your father because of his position and who he was. You respected your mother. You feared your mother in a reverential way. You honored her for who she was. All right, now magnify that a few thousand times and look to God and who he is, and to honor him and to reverence him and respect him. In other words, to bow the knee before the cross of Christ and accept him as your God and as your Savior. To fear the Lord means to make sure that God is your God, that the Lord is your Lord, that he's the one that you've accepted into your heart as your Lord and Savior. If he's not the Lord of your life, you're not going to trust him. If he's not the God that you serve, there's no way you're going to be able to trust him fully, because he's not around. He won't be there for you. You're not going to call upon him. So to trust him means to fear the Lord above everything and above all. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 1, and also verse 7, it also means to obey him. To trust the Lord means to obey him in all respects. My son, he says, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Look at verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then again, verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says, fear the Lord and turn away from what? From evil. To trust the Lord means to take this word that you have in your hand, the commandments of God, and resolve to obey them. To take this as God's express word and to trust his word. See, the longer you live with Christ, the more dear this book becomes to you. The longer you live with Christ, this book becomes very special to you. It's a book that you turn to and acknowledge it and obey it, because you're learning to trust it. This is his word. These are his commands given for our benefit. And you're learning to trust them, learning to obey God's word, to turn from evil. It means that we are going to reject that which God rejects, to hate that which God hates. To trust God means I'm trusting God in his word, his commandments, and turning and rejecting those things that are wrong and those things that are evil. Now, friends, all of us have something to do this year. In 2015, there's not a one of us here that doesn't have something in our lives that was a carryover from 2014. Some bad habit, some sinful trait, some little pet sin that we are harboring in a closet someplace in our lives, that surely if we continue having it, we're going to live to regret the fact that we entertained that particular sin. So what God is saying here, if you're going to trust the Lord, then turn away from evil. Begin a new slate in your life. Clean the closet. Make sure that you do an introspection of your life and turn away from evil. There should be a sense of repentance in our lives. So to trust him means to do exactly that, and then to love truth. To love truth. It's amazing when he says, bind them around your neck. Imagine that, to have the word of God written around your neck. We have scarves, we have ties, but to have the Word of God around our necks or written on the tablets of our heart. It's how precious God's commands and God's words are. It means to trust God above everything. To trust God above everything in life. To place Him as first. To lean upon Him at all times. That's what it means to trust God. To fear God. To honor Him. To respect Him. To recognize that He is above all. And then to obey every single command that He has to give to us. A second question we can ask ourselves about trusting God is this. How is trusting God to be done? All right. I understand now that I'm supposed to make God my priority and fear Him and obey His commands, but how am I supposed to trust Him? What does it entail for me to learn to trust God? How is this done? Well, friend, the text helps us carefully. It helps us in a very special way. Look at verse 5 with me again. Look at verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord, how? With all your heart. When the Bible uses the word heart, He's not speaking of the organ. The word heart is that mission control center of your life. It's even different than the mind. See, the mind can be used to reason, but the mind is controlled by the heart. He says, so that which is your mission control center, that which is your inner life, and we say it's our you. He says, to learn to trust God wholeheartedly with all your heart. And it's so key to remind ourselves that, to put absolute trust in God with our whole heart. Many of us are parents. Recall parents when you taught your children how to swim? Remember that? Their first introduction to the swimming pool, and then you wanted them to, you know, get off the steps into your arms, or jump in, and they're looking at you, and notice the great doubt they had. As much as you loved them, as much as you cared for them, they're not about to jump in and trust you. They were trusting in themselves. And then it'd be even worse if you're one of those godless fathers, you know, that allowed your kid to jump in and then you let him go and they drown half the day. And then you started messing around with them. That was like, time out, I'm out of here. But when they finally learn to trust you, when they finally learn to just give in, and then they put their arms around your neck and started to choke you half to death, and then they finally learned to give in, and then just trusted you, and then you picked them up, and then you held them out there and you let them go. Remember those times? See, that is what it means to trust God wholeheartedly. You're not holding on to anything. You're trusting God completely for everything. You're not trusting on your own. Look at verse 5. Trust in your heart in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own what? Understanding. Our greatest enemy to trusting God is our own reasoning. We have a better answer than God does. Isn't that true? We have a better alternative. We reason ourselves out of trusting God, and God says, listen, don't lean on your own understanding. You have to learn to trust God. Trust Him wholeheartedly. Don't rely upon what you think, the way things ought to be, or your reasoning. Trust what He says. Trust His Word. Trust Him wholeheartedly. Yes. He says, don't trust yourself. Don't trust even your resources. You know, we Americans love our resources. We love our money. We love our things. We place our confidence there and not in God. Go to Hebrews 13. Don't lose your place in Proverbs, but go to Hebrews 13. In the chapter on faith, chapter 11, and then chapter 12, the application of it, and then chapter 13, specific ways that we learn to trust God and put our faith in God to live by faith. Notice in verse 5, Hebrews 13, 5. He says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever what? Forsake you. So we confidently say The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? He says, don't trust your resources. Don't trust the things around you. This is not for you. We have to eventually trust God for everything in our lives. You know, even our own money reminds us of that. Every single piece of coin or piece of money that we have in our purses and wallets are preaching to us. What do they tell us? In God we trust. When you pull out that $100 bill, it's saying to you, listen, don't trust me. Don't put your trust in me. Put your trust in whom? In God. In God. To trust God means to trust Him wholeheartedly. To realize that it's not even your resources. You might be living in such a way where you're looking at your family, you're looking at your year, you're looking at your life, and you're saying, Lord, where in the world are we going to find the resources for my life, for our lives here? And God says, I'm glad you're there. Because now instead of trusting your resources, you're going to trust in what? In me. Put your confidence in me. Reminds us, and go to Psalm 118. And Psalm 118, the psalmist reminds us here, not only should we not trust in ourselves, not trust in our resource, he even says, don't even trust in men, in people, in those around you. He says in verse 8, it is better to take refuge where? In the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. In other words, again, don't rely upon other things. We that are married, family people, have a tendency to rely upon our husbands or wives or parents, etc. And God says, no, learn to trust in me wholeheartedly. Put your absolute confidence in me. And so he says, listen, if you're going to learn to trust God, recognize that it means to trust Him wholeheartedly. As it is say, jump in the pool with God and let God be the one to buoy you. Let God be the one to carry you. Let God be the one that you be trusting in wholeheartedly. Now we learn that by degrees. We learn that by degrees. And we trust that this particular year, we're learning to trust God wholeheartedly. Go back to chapter 3 of Proverbs. I want you to see something else with me. What it means to trust God. How are we going to trust God? He says in verse 5, with all your heart. And in verse 6, trust in the Lord in all your what? In all your ways. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways, not only wholeheartedly, but also completely. See, God is saying, put everything on the table. We have a tendency to do this. We have some things we trust God for, other things we don't. We make like big decisions we bring to the table with God. Everything else, we kind of handle it ourselves. Sometimes we don't even know how to make the distinction between major and minor. We just, certain things we do ourselves and other things we bring to God. And God says, listen, that is a major. You need to learn to trust God in every dimension of life. There's a very famous general from the recent war that right now, because of a sideshow that he did, you know, major mistake that he made in life, is now, instead of ending his life as a famous general, he's ending his life in infamy. Going down with shame and reproach because of a decision he made that seemed to be minor in his day back then. Seemed to be an obscure minor decision, but it turned out to be a major area, and the end result is going to be in his life a life of regret. You see, and God is saying, so everything should be on the table in all your ways. In everything that you do, acknowledge me completely. Let's illustrate. You know, obviously, salvation, trust Him and Him alone for salvation. No one else can save us. The Bible says that only Christ can give us forgiveness of sins. But trust Him also in your provision, in our daily living, in the need for food and clothing and covering and security. To trust Him in regards to these things. To know that that we can trust him for these matters. Like Abraham. Abraham, when God called Abraham and God went out trusting God for provision, and you follow Abraham's life, and he just trusted God for every piece of bread, every covering, every protection that God gave him. Abraham walked by faith. He trusted God. Same thing with us. And families, when you encounter these areas of want and need, don't hide them from your children. Don't keep them from them as to give them the illusion that somehow everything's fine and dandy and you want to shield them from the things. No, let them know. Bring him into the discussion. We're low on funds. Your daddy lost his job, or your mama's been ill, and we have these major problems. We don't have any money for this, money for that. Let's bring it to the table. Let's lay him out here for God. Bring him to God's attention. Let God be the one to provide for us. And then they'll see the reality of God in your life when they mark it down. When a child says, when a young person says, you know, mom and dad, I'm going to college and I need some funds. Well, what shall we do? Why don't you mortgage the house? Why don't you clean out your 401k? No, hon, why don't you pray? Why don't you lay your tuition on the table, in all your ways acknowledge God? True or not? Let's lay it on the table. Let's lay a $20,000 tuition fund for the year before God. And then watch how God provides for that. See, this is the way it's done. This is the way it's done. You bring the attention to God. Even your children. Even the children. Again, remind them that everything comes from God. It is an answer to God. You know, take your take your occupation. Some of us are trying to discern what it is that God would want us to do with our lives. Picking your career. Should I be this? Should I be that? What should I be? Take it to God. Take it to God. Don't just examine the pay. Don't examine the benefits. Bring it to God and say, Lord, what would you have me be? What is your choice for my life? In all your ways, acknowledge him. What is it that you want me to do with my life? Because you see, if you follow God's direction, then you will forever, ever be happy. You won't go back and say, man, I made the wrong choice in life. I made the wrong career. I pursued this, I pursued that, and I regret that I didn't go in that direction. I didn't pursue what God had placed in my heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Think of Moses. Moses, you know, by some unforeseen circumstance, Moses found himself in Egypt. He found himself being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And there he spent 40 years in Egypt. And he thought that he was going to redeem the people of Israel, got out of their plans. And it didn't happen. 40 years, he put him in the wilderness tending goats and sheep for 40 years. And then he saw a burning bush. And God said, you know, Moses, now it's time. You go down and lead my people out of Egypt. And for 40 years, he served God with leading the sheep of Israel out of Egypt. You see, because he was waiting for God's direction and God's calling. Virgin Mary, the same way. A young virgin there, minding her own business, thinking that somehow she was going to be just some other little Jewish lady in the city of Nazareth. And lo and behold, God had something else entirely for her. And when God chose her, her direction, she said, be it unto me according to your will, whatever you say. See, let God determine your profession, your calling, your occupation in life. Bring it to the table. And you see, God will judge you. Think of your life's partner. Listen, some of you single people, and some of you single young people, the two biggest decisions in life are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and secondly, whom you marry. Because whom you marry will either give you heaven on earth or hell on earth. And there is no out. I mean, divorce is no option. Divorce is no option. Listen, people. Some folks out there as Christian people think divorce is an option. It's not an option. You make the wrong mistake. Well, I can always find somebody else. No, it's not like a used car. God holds you to it. You see, and so make sure then that you bring that to the table. Put it before God. Let the Lord be the one to choose your spouse for you. Let him be the one. Let him be the one to find your wife or your husband. And because we're making some major mistakes. We just don't bring it to God. And so we do our own thing. Before you know it, you marry the wrong person. Get involved with the wrong person. Do the wrong thing. Before you know it, major regrets. Remember, love is blind, but the neighbors ain't. So always consult them. Consult them because they're either going to applaud your choice or say nothing about it. And if they don't affirm your choice, then you would have second thoughts concerning that. But bring it to the Lord's attention. So much grief happens because you choose the wrong spouse instead of letting God be the one to choose your spouse for you. Learn to do that. Bring that to the table in all your business dealings. Some of you are folks that have resources, you have businesses, you operate these things. Even those, bring him to God. Bring him to the Lord. Let him be the one to discern, to determine that. Don't be a cheat. Don't be a conniver. Don't be a manipulator. Don't be one that just changes the books and changes things just to get your own way. Let God be the one to do what needs to be done. And your daily activities, the key is to bring everything to the table, the big and the small. There are no small things with God. God is concerned with every single dimension of life. And if you learn to do that before God, friend, that's going to be what's going to help you with that. I mean, think of Joseph. Young Joseph in the Bible sold into Egypt by his brothers, his cruel brothers. And there is a teenager in Egypt, handsome looking guy. Here is a slave in Egypt, and then his boss's wife trying to cash in on him and seducing him. And he refused. He said, no, I can't do that. You're his wife, and what about God? And in those areas, he refused to give in. Now, he could have. He could have made it with a wife. But had he done that, he would have forfeited becoming prime minister of Egypt and saving the people of Israel from the famine. True or not? He would have regretted every single step of the way. Instead, he said, no, I'm not doing that. And in jail, he wasn't bitter. He wasn't angry. He just realized that God was in this thing somehow. And he just trusted God. He was a flower blooming in a rocky place. And there he trusted God. And the end result that God was able then to use him in a very special way. In other words, he trusted God for every aspect of his life. I mean, think, my friends, of Job. Job and his great misfortunes and sufferings and how he was able to trust God. In one day losing everything, all his possessions, even his children, and yet being able to say, you know what, God has given and God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These are my things anyway, they were God things. These were my children, they were God's children. And they trust him when God took them away. See, this is what it means to trust God for every dimension of life. Everything. There's nothing that you leave off the table. You bring everything to God and say, Lord, would you help me in this area? What about this area? I'm trusting you in this area. See, things happen to us every day. We have decisions to make every day that have implications, that if we don't make the right choice, we are going to regret this for the rest of our lives. I think of David, for example. King David, when he was running from Saul, there he was out in the wilderness, and he just happened to have a couple of hundred men with him, and they were out there living off the land, and one day he sent a message to a rich guy that had a lot of sheep, a lot of goat, a lot of cattle, and he said, you know, Mr. Laban, would you mind if we just took a few sheep here from your shepherd, from your flock, so we could feed my men who have been hungry? After all, we have been protecting your flocks from other marauders. And the fellow said, no, shut up. I don't owe you nothing. You know, and David flipped. He said, okay, boys, posse time. Let's go get him. And they went 200 strong to do this guy in. Remember that? And along the way, the wife of this guy called Laban, you know, Abigail, found out. And she went up to meet David. And she said, sir, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. My husband, you know, he's a fool. I'm sorry to say that, but that's who he is. That's his name. Nabal, so it is that's what he stands for. He's a fool, and you don't want to do that. You're going to be king someday. One day you're going to rule this entire nation, and you don't want to have this blotch on your record that you went out and destroyed these people needlessly and shed blood needlessly. You don't want to do that. And so I advise you not to do that. And see, and David listened. He listened. See, you're going to have people come to you and going to give you advice. Your mind's made up. You're going to have your mind made up to do this or to do that. And some godly person's going to come and give you a word of advice and say, you don't want to do that. Oh, you don't want to do that. Why don't you do this? And they may even be strong and rebuke you. And you're going to get upset and decide to get your marbles and run and go someplace else and do your own thing. And then regret that. Listen, why don't you just listen to God? True? Listen to the advice that God brings to you and make sure that whatever decision you make, it's made based upon God is telling you. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. See, our problem is that we bring some things to God's table, but not everything. Bring everything to the table of the Lord. Every single thing. Get into the habit of doing that. Whatever case might be, he says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. So trust him wholeheartedly, trust him completely, and then trust him humbly. Look at verse 7 with me. Look at verse 7. He says, do not be wise in your own what? Eyes. See, we all have a problem. We all think we're smarter than what we really are. Am I the only bird or is somebody else here like that? See, and this is issue. So we need to trust God and trust Him humbly, which means to recognize our limitations. Realize that we don't know everything. We don't have the answer to everything. And so be willing to bring our issues to God and let the Lord be the one. That's where prayer comes in. Asking God for direction. Asking God for the answers. That's where searching the scriptures comes in, because we want to do God's will, not our will. We don't want to lean on our own understanding. We want to trust God for every dimension of life. What it means for us to do, to make sure that we're doing that. Because you see, we can trust in our own understanding. We can rely upon our own wisdom. He says, no, do not be wise in your own estimation. One of the grave dangers we have is that we always think we're smarter than what we think we are. And we then go our own path. I mean, it's been decided that when it comes to men and women, men are hesitant to receive instruction. Think of our driving, gentlemen. Isn't it true that we never get lost? We're never lost. Have you ever noticed that? We're never lost. Now, we run out of gas in the process, but we're never lost. We go past the same gas station 15 times because, you see, we always know where we're going. Women, on the other hand, they stop and ask. In the old days, you stop and ask directions. You stop and ask, stop at the gas station, and you get directions right away. We don't, see. We don't ask directions until we're out of gas. You know, even the GPS systems, we're still, you know, hesitant there. You know, we just refuse to admit the fact that we are lost. I confessed to you this morning that I'm one of those kind that I think I'm always right when it comes to directions and never get lost. Even our GPS system, I have questions on her. You know, when she tells me what to do, I says, you know, she's wrong. You know, I'm not turning there. I know better. We're up in Canada last summer, and you know, late at night, 10:30 at night, driving up to a lone freeway. An island up there and following the GPS, but following the map. And I was following the map, and the GPS said, turn here and turn here and turn here. I said, no, no, no. And I kept on. And she said, turn here. I said, no, we're not, you know. And after a while, I mean, I needed to turn because there was no place else to go. So after a while, I ended up listening to two women. Okay. Friend, we're all like that. We all like that, you see. We are wise in our own eyes. And seeing that is not going to be. Some of you high schoolers here, you're so smart. You have all, your mama, dad know nothing. I mean, like they were born like 2 days ago, you know what I'm saying? You have it all in, you know what? And that's going to be your downfall. You know, listen, Mark Twain said, when I was 18, I was amazed at how ignorant my father was. When I turned 21, I was amazed how much he learned in 3 years. Because we are so wise in our own estimation. You see, learn to be humble then. Go to God in prayer. Search the scriptures. Get God's answer. Look at God's direction. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In your abilities, none of us are able. The non-believers accuse us of using religion as a crutch. Friends, it's not a crutch, it's a bed. We need God. We can't do without God. To me, religion is not a crutch, it's a lifeline. Without Christ, I am nothing. There's no power, there's no ability. I can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. So to trust God, why you bring everything to God? I have to, because I cannot. I don't have the wisdom nor the ability to do so. They asked Dr. Ben Carson, a great heart surgeon. They asked him, "Do you pray before surgery?" He says, "Every single time." Now this is a genius at surgery who needs to rely upon God's hand to guide his hand to do what needs to be done. In other words, friends, we need to trust in God completely, wholeheartedly, and humbly. And the question comes then, if we trust God, if we learn to trust God, what is the outcome? What is the outcome? I want you to look at the text because God gives us what the outcome is. Look at the text. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Proverbs 3 and verse 4. He says, "If you trust God, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and in the sight of men." He says, if you learn to trust God, like I told you, wholeheartedly, completely, humbly, he says, you are going to be a person that's going to be acceptable to God. You'll find favor with God. God will look in your direction. It says in Isaiah, "To this one I will look, to him that trembles at my word." See, God favors those that trust him. God favors those that lean on God. God favors those that cast all their care upon God, because he cares for them. He favors them. He favors them. He looks in their direction. You see, and so if you learn to trust God, then God is going to favor you. Not only that, but he says also men. Also men. People will favor you. They'll have a different look at you. It's interesting. Your relatives, your co-workers, your friends, when they know that you're trusting God and they see God take care of your life and provide your needs, then as far as they're concerned, their look upon you is with favor. They like you. And they're the ones that are going to, they're the ones that when they catch you in private, way in the back in the storage, or when there's only two of you in the office, or perhaps in the bathroom washing your hands, they come and they'll say, "Could you pray for me? Would you pray for my? Would you pray for this?" See, because they know that you have favor with God, and they don't. And their estimation in their eyes, for you, it rises in their eyes. They look upon you with favor. The Bible says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Your enemies will even like you. Imagine that. But if you're a scoundrel, if you're conniving, self-serving, manipulative, friend, people aren't going to like you because you're only trusting in yourself. Or you may gain a few things here and there, but in the long run, you'll be losing because somehow people's favor is not in your direction. God says you trust God, and God and people will favor you. Notice also, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. "In all your ways acknowledge him, If you trust Him in all your ways, He will make your paths what? Make your paths straight. Or He will direct your paths. What it means here is that your life will be easier and will be more successful. Now, we've come a long ways from the days of Proverbs. Today, travel is a wonderful experience. You get in your automobile, get on the freeway, and you can drive 60, 70 miles an hour and just experience your new car because it's a smooth highway. But friend, in those days it wasn't. In those days, roads were like totally beat up. The rains would come and there would be gullies and huge boulders and stones and all that and potholes. And you would be going and it would be just a horrible experience. You'd be steep mountains. You'd be narrow passageways. You'd have to get off your horse and walk through it. It was just an ordeal to travel. He says, so your life was like a long journey. He says, you trust me and I will give you smooth paths. I'll take the rocks out of the way. I'll level the road so you'll have a successful journey. It'll be easier for you. That's what it means. A few days ago, I was watching, one of those, when we had that snow on Mount Baldy and it was a clear day, I looked out and I was observing and just taking in the beauty of Mount Baldy and the snow up there. And then I got a flashback 15 years ago where I, with another buddy, we climbed up Mount Baldy. And it was in the summertime, so we climbed to the very top, to the very pinnacle of Mount Baldy. We climbed there. We climbed it up the fire road. There was a nice fire road, a wide road. We just talked and we ate trail mix and drank water all the way up to the top. And the only difficult part was the journey to the top. And then we came back down the same fire road. And it just winds like this and winds like this. Well, when he did one of these windings, we stopped right there and we looked down. And we said, you know what? If we went just straight down, it would be shorter and it would be faster. And that was coming from a man who was an idiot. Wanted to get off the beaten path, off the smooth path, and go down straight down. And I said to my friend, why don't we do that? And he was just as stupid as I was. And he said, yeah. And so we did. We started going down, and at first it was like, yeah, we're making some fast journey, jumping up boulders and doing this and doing that, you know. And after about 5 hours of doing that, it was like torture. We're like boulders and rocks and fallen trees. And when we got to the bottom, we were like two beat up hikers. You know, it was wet. There was still water in the thing. And, you know, to this day, my toenails are all beat up. I regret that bypass. You see, you don't want to get off the beaten path. And you'll have many temptations to get off the smooth path God has made you. You know, well, it's so boring on this Christian life. You know, it's so boring. There's no smoking pot. There's no getting drunk. There's no like late nights, you know. There's not like going with other women. There's not like messing around. There's not like sleeping together. There's not like doing this. I want to get off the beat. You will live to regret that detour. You'll live to regret it. There'll be one day when you look back and you say, you know, that one night stand, what I thought I was going to get away, I didn't get away. I'm living to regret that. So God says, stay on the beaten path. I will smooth your way out for you. I'll make it easier for you. Make it easier for you. I was raised in a pagan culture, totally pagan. I used to sit with my dad. We used to work with men. I used to sit in the men. Then I would just sit in, and I would just watch. You would be surprised if you were to know when I was growing, I never spoke to anything. I was like the quiet guy. I was like the fly on the wall. Never said anything, but I'd watch these people that had a hell of a life. A hell of a life. I mean, just everything was painful. Everything was painful. And it's all because they didn't trust God with their lives. And I realized that there's another way. There's another way. There's God's way. And God's way is the easy way. He says, I will make your paths smooth. So listen, why should you torment your life by getting off the beaten path? True? Why should you torment your life by making the wrong decision? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Look at verse 8. What are the results of this? What if I trust God? He says, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your what? Bones. You'll get a healthy life. A healthy life and a happy life. He says it'll be a refreshment to your body and refreshment to your soul. See, trusting God, you avoid the needless pitfalls of the wicked. You do. It's just that there's another life. You court God's favor. Oh, listen, young people. Listen, friends. All these people that dress themselves up and they stand in public and they sing these songs and give this other view. Listen, it's all a masquerade. Wash the mascara off and remove all the fanfare of it. And all there is remorse and sadness beneath that. It's just total disarray. You see, you need to realize that to be truly, truly where you need to be is to trust God and know that, and the end result, it'll be for you refreshment to your body, refreshment to your soul, truly, truly happiness. That's what it's all about. This is what it means to trust God. Why would you want to do anything else? See, you want to make sure that you're there. Look at verse 2. If you trust God, he says, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will what? Add to you. Listen, long life isn't just in genes alone. It is also in the godly. If you live godly, you're going to live a long life. He says you're going to live a peaceful life. The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. The wicked have no peace. It's turmoil. It's unrest. That's all there is to it. But for the Christian, there is this peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. If we learn to trust Him in all of our ways. I want to encourage us this morning, as you launch out in 2015, some of us have some really major life-changing decisions to make this year. Make sure that you're trusting God for these things. Make sure that we invite God to be in our everyday experience. Everyday experience. You follow me? So that in everything is on the table. We're trusting God for everything. Because with God there are no little things. Everything's big. And learn to trust Him. And always acknowledge Him. And He will make your paths straight. Amen? And let me say to you, it all begins with Jesus Christ. It begins with Christ. Now listen to me. Not all of you are Christians. Not all of you have really accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You know that, and I know that. You come to church, and you sit and listen, but you haven't really accepted Christ as your Savior. You've not been baptized yet. You haven't sealed it yet. You're still on that fence thinking maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. Let me nudge you a little bit, my dear soul, my dear friend. Let me nudge you. Let me talk to you. Let me encourage you to make sure that you're giving your heart to Christ. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Humble yourself before the Lord and ask Him to become your Lord and Savior. Give your heart to Him. I'm asking you in Christ's stead, as though God would be seating you, asking you in His place that you would give your heart to Christ, repent of your sins, and ask Him to become your Savior. And to do it when? To do it today. To do it today. Give your heart to Christ. Let's stand together and we'll pray to the Lord. We'll pray to God together. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? And let's pray to the Lord together. Our Father, we thank You this morning for giving us an opportunity to listen to Your Word and to know that we have major, major decisions to be made in 2015. But also, Lord, a host of minor ones as well. And to You, Lord, they are all the same. Teach us to learn to be a trusting individual to trust in God with all of our heart and in all of our ways. And Lord, in a humble fashion. And Lord, we turn to you at this time and ask you that you would help us as we journey through life. And friend, perhaps you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus. In your heart, you know you're not a Christian. But this morning, I'm asking you to give your heart to Jesus. I'm asking you to make the most important decision of your life as to give Jesus Christ your heart, to invite him to become your Lord and your Savior, and to take a stand for Christ. And so there, where you're standing, as we bow our heads, I'd like to invite you this morning, if you've never accepted Christ, or you need to take a stand for Christ this morning as a seal of your salvation, I'm going to ask you to do something special. I'm going to ask you to come to the front right now, and I will pray for you. We'll pray together. So I'll ask you to come right now to the front, and let's give your heart to Jesus Christ. Is there somebody here? Would you come up? Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity, and we pray that you might begin to work with us. And for those that have entrusted Christ, Lord, give them no rest, no peace, until, Lord, they bow their knees and give their hearts to Jesus. Because then and only then can you truly direct their steps. Thank you for being such a wonderful Savior and caring for our individual lives. Oh, thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.